Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, wherever you might be. Welcome to the Making Awesome podcast, episode 169. Nice. We're going to be talking all about one of the largest struggles for adopting 3D printing as a whole, because the machines have gotten better, right? You can easily get machines from multiple companies that you just kind of plug in, click print, and prints. But see, eventually you will run out of models that you want to print. There are only so many Flexi Dragons that you could print. And that means you might be, you know, motivated to do one yourself, to try to design. Then you either get Fusion 360, maybe you try Onshape, maybe you try FreeCAD if you're a masochist. Sorry, FreeCAD, your UI is still real tough. And you realize you might as well be looking into the Matrix. You have no idea what you're looking at. And what you have just gone through is pretty much the same thing that every single person who doesn't come with design skills has gone through when they decided they wanted to make their own parts. So, let's talk about this one a little bit and dive into it. If you are here hanging out live, leave a like, get subscribed. If you are listening back either on the recorded version or audio only, hello, you missed the live stream, you should show up. We do try to hang out pretty much every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, you know, when we can. Mad Cat says, what about Blender and ZBrush? That's just, like, they're still complicated, right? Blender, I would think, is one of the better ones to start with for sculpting. But the problem with Blender is, being open source, there are so many tutorials on it, and not all of them are good. We'll get into that a little bit, but also Maxon, nobody likes what you've done with ZBrush. We want our boy back. Anyways, yeah. Hit that like button, subscribe. Let's dive into this. So, I know it's been an issue for me. And that means if it's been an issue for me, I know I'm not alone. Having to learn design is really, really complicated. Like, really complicated. To the extent of, we just hired engineers to take over the work for us versus, you know, me trying to learn it all myself. Because ultimately, while I can do small stuff, I'm actually finishing up a prototype of this for a client. My skills are fundamentally limited when it comes to doing it as a profession. See, because CAD really doesn't have this, oh, I just want to do it as a hobby level. You have to get pretty darn good. Now, you all might be saying, well, Grant, what about Tinkercad? And Tinkercad, for what it does, it ain't bad. It ain't bad. But it's not great either. It is very limited, and its big flaw is that it's not parametric. So if you want to make a small adjustment, it won't just auto-update everything if you've properly, you know, done all your parameters and sizing and everything. Instead, you're going to have to adjust every single dimension manually. And that's pain in the butt. And for anyone that has designed in Tinkercad and ran into that problem, you understand some of its limitations. Now, we still use Tinkercad. It is one of the best ways to take like a hand sketch and convert it to an STL. It's one of the fastest ways to edit an already existing STL file. And quite frankly, being legally free, it's one of the few out there that doesn't suck for the price. Now, there is FreeCAD. FreeCAD was something that I tried to learn on a live stream. I was so lost that I just deleted the stream. It's been the only stream that I've ever, like, actually deleted. because it was just so infuriating. The amount of effort that I had to put in to just figure out what it was the heck that I was doing. And I don't know. I'm sure it's gotten better, but it is still kind of the known that Tinkercad is for starters, FreeCAD is for pain. FreeCAD is for pain. Fusion 360 kind of falls in that middle. And Fusion 360 does have a free version. It only allows like 10 models open at a time. There's some other limitations, and I'm sure Autodesk is going to continue to try to kneecap it. And at $500 to $600 a year, it's not cheap, but it's also not that expensive when you compare it to something like SolidWorks, which is going to run you around $2,000 to $4,000 for basically the same thing. The problem that we run into is that these are all so daunting. Like when you open Fusion 360 and you look at it, you're like, what the actual hell is this? I have no clue what I'm looking at. And there is not a soul that would blame you. See, we talked about it last week. One of the biggest threats to 3D printing was the education gap. The biggest challenge that we have is designing. And that is also pretty much controlled by an education gap. Now, there are some great classes out there. In fact, cadclass.org. I want to have those guys on at some point, but, you know, we're not having guests at this point. But the CAD class guys actually do a pretty good session. And I think that that's worthwhile to people that are wanting to get involved. The problem is you got to pay for those classes sometimes, and then you still have to, still got to deal with the learning curve, right? They'll get you to be competent when you really want to try to get the interesting stuff, right? The really nitty gritty. It's not simple. So a lot of people default back to Tinkercad. Tinkercad still isn't CAD. I don't like that it's got CAD in the name. Now, I understand that CAD is computer-aided design, right? Which is fine. But when the average person thinks of CAD, they're thinking of SolidWorks. They're thinking of Fusion 360. They're thinking of Inventor. They're thinking of those options. And, well, unless you're willing to drop a bunch of money on classes, maybe a little bit of money on software, or you know, go sail the seven seas or something. We certainly don't recommend doing that kind of thing, but it's the internet. You're going to do what you want. You run into these issues of it becomes cost prohibitive. If you're buying a $200, $300 printer and you need to do all of this learning, you're going to want to just put the friggin' printer away. And when the learning costs as much, if not more, than the printer itself, at what point does this become a non-continuance, right? That is where the frustration for me comes in, and a problem that I hope that we can maybe fix here in the industry. Aaron Liebig says, hey, Grant, I've been working with CAD software for 20 plus years, and I'm still learning something new like every day. Yeah. And it's interesting because for those who don't know, we have a Patreon, YouTube channel member, and Patreon, you know, if that's your kind of thing. $10 tier higher gets you access to the private Discord server where we were hanging out till what, like 3 o'clock in the morning? We were hanging out pretty late last night, just straight chilling. But for at least 45 minutes of it, one of our fans was giving another fan and kind of quasi-engineer on the team a lesson in Fusion 360 live. And the cool thing was, one person was in Australia, the other person was somewhere in the Midwest of the United States. That's the awesome thing about communities, is that it can bring people together like this. But at the same time, these are skills that each of us have. And I've learned a lot from that individual too. In fact, this was a model that we made for our monopod that we take out to shows. And I designed in some rings where TPU filament sits, but the problem is that would have sucked for support. He taught me how to do designed in supports, and that has changed the way that I look at designing. Because, like, that's something you don't think too much about until you really need it. And then often it's too late to be thinking about it. And when we look at, like, people that do engineering for a living, like Aaron was saying, he said he just purchased a creator license for SolidWorks because he's been using it for work for so long. The creator license for SolidWorks, last I checked, was still non-commercial. And that's, like, a thing that I have a problem with, because commercial is really loosely defined, right? If you sell a part to a friend for $5, as far as I'm concerned, that is technically commercial use. Now, can SolidWorks determine that? No, they really can't. Much of it is on the honor system. But if you want the same SolidWorks that you're using at a day job, you're paying $2,000 to $4,000 a seat. It kind of sucks. And as I talked about in the description, Autodesk changes their UI so often that even a six-month-old video on how to use Fusion 360, like Fusion 360 for Dummies, is already outdated because the UI itself is outdated. And that kind of sucks. And then we look at what UU Gyms is having an issue with, which is, hardest thing for me is deciding what to make and to spend time on. The ADHD problem is strong in this community, and I'm not making any claims to UU Gyms or anything like that. I have it. I know the pain. I do so little printing for myself these days, it's kind of ridiculous how little 3D printing that I do for myself. Most of it is just done for work, because I'm so enamored in the day-to-day job of making parts for others and the business that I can't chill out and do it as a hobby anymore. And part of 2024 is me learning to enjoy it as more than just a business. You guys will come along for that journey, so don't worry. But that is a problem, because if you now have these tools to be able to make whatever you want, your options are limitless. Well, they're limited by your skill set, right? And because that limitation only exists because of your, your ideas, you have so many of them that you get stuck. And as FJ Prince says, just a warning for anyone thinking about getting SolidWorks from the Seven Seas. They are notorious for making people go bankrupt who have sailed their stuff. So I would not recommend it. I never recommend going sailing for programs. You should never do that. Pay the companies what they're worth, no matter how much you might disagree with that. But I recognize that there will and continue to be people that will choose to do that option. So it's an option. It's not a legal option, but it is an option. I want to see CAD softwares care about the small guy, right? Because right now they don't. SolidWorks does not care about you. Fusion 360 barely cares about you. And in fact, Fusion 360 is phasing out their small business license. So if you're a small business and you make less than 100 grand a year, you would normally be able to pay like 50% or less of the cost of Fusion. And the idea was that every year they'd up your price a little bit and eventually you just get roped right into the main price. But they're phasing that out. Why? Because there's no money in small business. Well, our idea of small business, the government's idea of small business, is like businesses under $7 million a year. I'm sorry. Small business stops at $1 million a year in net profit. When you make $1 million of net profit, you are no longer a small business. You're a medium business. And I don't give a damn what the government says. But we look at the options out there that are free and they have their limitations. We look at the options that are paid and our wallets run in the opposite direction scared. So what can we do as a community to try and solve this problem that makes it more functional and easy to use? Now, I'm not going to have the answer, unfortunately, because I'm not a programmer. I don't know what it takes to build a CAD package, but I can tell you that it is a frustration that I have, and I know that I'm not the only one. Because a lot of the open source systems, they suck. They proper suck. And the paid versions are really good, but they're really hard to work with. Deep Knowledge says they donate $25 every month to OpenSCAD, planning to open up their donations once they make more money off of the work. They're also saying that it is free and open source, which means you can just use it for commercial applications, and that's why they donate to it. Yes. But OpenSCAD is not for the faint of heart. If you can't program, you're going to have a hard time in any of the SCADs, right? I think OpenSCAD is one of the ones that like requires a basic Python programming knowledge. Yeah. Is it SCAD or SCAD? I don't know. I've always said SCAD. Someone is welcome to correct me in the chat. But these are some of the limitations that we run up against. And I will tell you, as a small business owner, it is frustrating. Fusion is only going up in price. It's what we've opted to use here. Because it's affordable. It allows our staff to be remote. And if we do have jobs that require a harder sense of security for whatever reason, we use a air-gapped computer with a license on it for other softwares. But when we're dealing with Fusion, it is the best option for us as a business currently. Now, Autodesk, hi, if you're watching, or honestly, Onshape, I don't care. Whoever wants to sponsor us first, I want like a dozen perpetual licenses that are transferable, and I will do videos with your product. Because it is so egregiously expensive for us as a business. And when we look at a relationship that we could have as a content creator, them kicking me a dozen license keys costs them nothing. There's no cost. But the amount of content that we would do with it would be great. We used to use Onshape. We actually went from... Who did we move away from when we went to Onshape? I forget. We used Onshape because back then the free account was still private. As soon as the grumbling started and they became, the free version was no longer public, we nuked all of our designs off of it and we moved to Fusion. And that's where we've been ever since. Because as a small business, when you have, 9 or 10 engineers on staff, that's a lot of money for software, especially if you're talking about, something other than Fusion, right? Something more expensive. My concern is that there's no good option, and people that see this frustration will have problems. These frustrations are going to cause them to look at the industry in a bad way. And that bad way is what they're going to tell people about their experience with 3D printing. And, I tried to make this thing that I really wanted to make, and I could not figure it out. The programs are terrible. I don't understand why anybody does this, right? Versus, no, actually, I found, some classes. It was really nice. It cost a little bit of money, but it's okay. It is still a complicated thing. And I don't know if there's a good solution yet. So Nathaniel Walker is asking if I've tried Shaper 3D. They started learning it and it seemed a lot easier than Fusion. I know of it. There's Shaper 3D and then there's a few others. Plasticity is another one. There are a lot of these app-based, like using on an iPad with an Apple Pencil style of design tools. And I actually really like that idea because that is more intuitive. Right, I've always said I want a CAD package. I want a CAD package that I can use in VR. As someone that does not own a VR headset, that would push me to do VR. Because I can build stuff, right? Put me in my garage with my woodworking tools. I can build stuff. I can do the math. I can, you know, figure out my cuts, cut it, drill it, screw it in, glue it, whatever I need to do. I can build stuff physically. But as soon as I try to do mouse and keyboard, or even, like, I have one of the 3D connection tools, which is a godsend for those of us that are not, like, keyboard and mouse with CAD. If I could just go in via VR and be able to draw something out, extrude it, then turn it around, push some areas in, I think that that would be key for people like me that are more tactile in the way that they build things. And as Duff says, apply the Band-Aids. Remember, count all the fingers before you go out and work. Count them when you come back in. If there's a discrepancy, call your local emergency services. As Grant Desig says, that he still uses 1-2-3D design. It's discontinued, a little buggy, and it isn't advanced as Fusion. But it's a standalone program that had a free version, and he's never felt limited by it. Yeah. That's kind of interesting, right? There are these old, now deprecated programs that are no longer supported by the companies that will work just fine for you. No problem at all. And because the most of us are going to be purely limited on our skill and not be limited by the software, even these ones that are a little bit buggy, that are a little outdated, those are going to be totally fine and easy to use. So don't dig on any of the older softwares that have just been abandoned by manufacturers. 1-2-3D Design, I believe, was Autodesk. They likely abandoned it because it was free and it wasn't making them any money. They're a company. Their goal is to make money. Sorry, that's how this works. We have the issue regarding open and closed source, right? We have the open source ones like OpenSCAD, FreeCAD, and the like. And their UI is hot garbage. Hot garbage. Then we have the paid versions, which have better UI, generally speaking, but they have no tutorials. There's no help. It's money, please. See you later. Figure it out on your own. And it's why I believe that a lot of people decide to go sailing for their software, at least to start, because they don't know if they're going to like it. And there's not really an easy way to try before you buy. And unfortunately, a lot of those people will never go back to the old way. You know, the legal way. The concern that I run into is just, if closed source is so good, and some of them are very good, right? Ntopology can do things that no other CAD package on the market can do, period, right now, that I'm aware of. Ntopology is amazing. Like, it is fundamentally amazing. Interesting. Apparently, this video has been limited for ads. That's funny. Huh. Oh, well, maybe they're still figuring it out as we're live. Whatever. Anyways, let me get back on topic. The problem that we deal with some of these more, like, Ntopology. Let me talk about Ntopology for a little bit. First off, if you use Ntopology, looking at you, Dave Makes Stuff, and a few others, you all are mad lads. It is unreasonably expensive. Last I checked, a licensed seat of Ntop was about $25,000 a year. $25,000 a year. That is a lot of money. No matter what business it is. Now, if you're in the aerospace industry and you're using N topology to basically build out the best rocket engine that you can, 25 grand is a rounding error, but it's still a lot of money when you realize that the computer that is worth maybe 5 grand, maybe 10 grand if it's a really high-end machine, has $200,000 a year worth of software on it. Right? People used to think that the GPUs were the expensive part of the computer. I've always said it's the hard drives and SSDs. That's where the money is on these computers. Now, for those of you thinking, well, I could just find my local aerospace company and take their software. They're normally locked to some sort of. So, unless you're going to take the motherboard too, don't bother, I guess. And Chris Young says, I had Fusion crash on me. I started working off the recovery file. It didn't save. I ended up losing weeks worth of work. The cloud sucks and is unreliable. Well, I do wish that Fusion's cloud would autosave better than it does. It doesn't do a great job autosaving, and it's why I tell the staff, when you are working on projects, you can be saving, set a timer. I want you to save every 5 minutes. I don't care where you're at, save every 5 minutes, but then save every time you make a big change because we don't want to have that problem. We have yet to have a major issue with Fusion and its cloud, but so far it's been quite nice. So I will say that their constant changes of their UI and UX are very frustrating, right? Because I can't always be on Fusion and help staff. A lot of times they have to do this kind of thing themselves. Ultimately, we run into if the UI and UX changes beyond what I'm able to do, I get stuck and now have to relearn. The move from one UI to the next UI is figure it out, we don't care. Inventor, which is Fusion 360 for rich people, I'm being mean, it's way more expensive, but it is basically the same thing. Inventor doesn't get those kind of UI changes. And I think that part of me, like if I put a tinfoil hat on for just a second, I feel like Autodesk changes the UI and UX of Fusion 360 to push you toward Inventor. It's a harebrained theory, but it could be true. Could be true. I don't know. I don't know. It's a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. You heard it here first, sheeple. Yes, I clipped that for our for our Patreon people. Chris Young says he really enjoyed Shaper 3D, but their payment model leaves a lot to be desired. Let me see what Shaper 3D's model is. Let me see what their pricing is. Okay, $25 a month, 300 annual. What's the one that has like a one-time fee? Yeah, see, 300 a year is kind of a pain in the ass because you're so close to Fusion that is it worth it? Right? If its UI is just better, then it's worth it. Do it. But to those that are on Fusion, the transition has to be pretty easy or it doesn't work. Such a pain. Ty Guy 266 says, good morning from BC, Canada. How you doing? I have been trying to learn Blender for 6 months. I made a keychain though. Yeah, that sounds like a very typical Blender experience. It's funny because we talked about this, and then Joel Telling put out a tweet. So we were talking about it in our own Discord. And then Joel Telling put out a tweet. I want to read the tweet. I'm going to read the tweet verbatim. Sorry, Joel, I'm reading your tweet. A reminder, not every teaching style works with everyone. I think that it is a barrier to learning most about tech in general. Wow, I screwed that one up. Not every teaching style works for everyone. I think that is a barrier to learning more about tech in general and can complicate someone's efforts to grow their skill set. One reason that I started my YouTube channel, The 3D Printing Nerd. Jeez. One reason that I started my YouTube channel was to be able to distill complex ideas into more easily digestible pieces. I personally believe that everybody has a capacity to learn, but not everyone can learn in the same way. I'm reminded of this today because I'm helping my daughter, Sydney, this is Joel's daughter, with some CAD lessons for school. Her medical conditions make video instructions really difficult to follow and can lead her symptoms to flaring up. Knowing this, I went through all the CAD lessons first. I watched the videos and did the work. I can understand how the sets of videos assigned might not be for everyone. The person doing the videos has a very monotone voice and wasn't always clear about what needed to be done in a timely manner. Thankfully, my brain is easily able to tackle this. I'm able to teach Sydney the CAD principles shown in the videos. I can keep her engaged with personal instructions in a way that her brain can work with. I can also pause easily when a symptom flares up. I use the video as reference, and in the end, the lesson takes less time. But Sydney retains much more information. It's a solid win. I hope that inspires you to help someone learn something in a way that their brain can tackle more easily. There will be less frustration and more information retained. Heck, you both might even have a bit of fun along the way. Hashtag high five. High five, Joel. And that is so freaking true. It's so true that some of the classes are just not designed for you. It's designed for the person that's teaching it. They're not designed for you. And those classes can be so frustrating that it makes you want to quit CAD altogether. I don't like it. But there are ways that if we look at teaching the same way that Joel talks about, right? Taking a complicated subject, breaking it up into bite-sized chunks that can be easily disseminated and understood. You have a success story that writes itself. CADclass.org, linked to them earlier, is a great example of that, right? And I think they do a pretty good job of teaching. But it's never perfect for everybody. Daniel Cross says, Fusion 360, is that broken? So if I would be forced to use it as a job, I would say I quit. Maybe we just are lucky, right? In that we haven't experienced a lot of Fusion issues. I don't like that Fusion only uses one core. I have more than one core in my computer. I want you to use more. I also wish that Fusion would use more GPU processing rather than purely CPU processing. But these are frustrations that I'm allowed to have for the price that I pay. If I want to add another zero and go over to using SolidWorks or something like that, I can get those features that I want. But it's not worth another zero to me. And it's likely not worth another zero to you if you are just starting out. See, a lot of people want to make money with 3D printing, right? The idea of going to this, I have a printer to, I now have a thing that can make me money, is not a very far reach for a lot of people because they see that this stuff is cool, people around them want it, I can sell it for money, right? That whole process is very, very quick. But then they realize that it is so complicated to learn the design. And that design stage is where we lose, in my opinion, the most maker potential. How many of you have tried to learn Fusion or tried to learn OpenSCAD, or how many of you are masochists and tried FreeCAD or Blender and said, after 6 hours of just pounding your head against a keyboard, I hate this. It's not for me. I hate it. And you walked away and you never touched it. How many of you told that story of working all those hours and got nowhere and you just felt like you wasted your time? Versus how many of you that did figure it out and tell the story about how useful it is? I'm betting it's like a 10 to 1, right? there isn't a perfect answer. I don't know if there ever will be a perfect answer. But I think a lot of these iPad sketch-based ones are the solution to a lot of people's problems. Because prior to having apps on iPads that can do this, you can, you know, get a drawing tablet, but that drawing tablet doesn't have a screen. And if you want one that has a screen, it's like $200 to $400 on top of the cost of the CAD package. Then the CAD package also has to work with that drawing screen. And you see how very quickly this devolves into expensive, time-consuming, resource-intensive, and just not fun overall. And as soon as you take the fun out of 3D printing, it is just work. It's not fun anymore. It's just work. And people want to do this for fun. They don't necessarily want to immediately jump in and do this for work. So how can we make this transition instead of where you need to know how to rock climb? All you really need to do is lean into a slope to remain vertical. How do we get there? That to me is the $1 million question. Look at how many people have joined the 3D printing industry in the past 2 years. Hundreds of thousands of people have joined this industry that do not know jack diddly about design. We can certainly get something that can help them. And if you can do something that resonates well with newbies, you have a $1 million idea, in my opinion. Daniel Cross says, if you push E for extrude, it deselects the input field for the amount, which you always have to search because it's always another spot. I've never actually had that happen to me, but I have my... So, pro tip, if you know SolidWorks and you use Fusion at home, there is a go to the preferences inside of Fusion and you can change it to work like SolidWorks, where all the key bindings are basically the same as SolidWorks. What the hell is going on? Whatever. So all the key bindings are the same as SolidWorks. That is the money to me. When Amber started learning Fusion, I forgot to tell her. She had asked me for some help, and I went and I'm like, why are the keys not working? And I went and I'm like, oh my God, you've been learning on Fusion 360 rather than learning on the SolidWorks UI, which is what we all do in the company. So I'm trained in the SolidWorks UI. So I had to like kind of retrain her. Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the butt. But it is one of those challenges that we ran into of she wanted to learn it on her own. I forgot to give her that piece of advice in the beginning. And so my ability to help went from here to like here. I could still help a little bit, but I am nowhere near as functional and effective as I could be. If I was a 10 before, I'm never a 10. There's never a day where I'm a 10. But let's assume for easy math that I'm a 10. I went down to like a 3. And that is all because of key bindings. Just kind of ridiculous, but it's true. If you're used to certain keys doing certain things and then all of a sudden they don't do it anymore, problem. Problem. Aaron Liebig asks, what are my opinions on devices like the 3D Connection Space Mouse? What is the one that I have on my desk? I have a Space Pilot Pro. I buy them used off of eBay because I don't believe that I should be the one that eats the depreciation. You can often find them if you have an engineering school near you. End of semester. You can often find them on Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, and the like for cheap. I think they're worth it. I think they're worth it. I got specifically the Space Pilot Pro. Before they stopped discontinuing the drivers, I'm really upset about that because they nuked the driver. None of my, like, I had an entire setup because it's got a bunch of hotkeys. I had all my hotkey setup the way that I like. And when they nuked the driver, it nuked its ability to pull hotkey commands. So I've got the screen, which now is completely useless to me. The little 6 degree of freedom dongle bit. And I've got dedicated keys for escape, alt, control, and shift. Which, if you're doing CAD work, it's pretty much the bulk. But I had ones for, like, you know, extrude. I had all the ones set up. But the latest driver that they had nuked all of that. So, it was a bummer. TieGuys266 says, online classes from 3D Musketeers. That is a plan at some point. Soon TM, not soon TM. It's happening eventually, but yes. Things like that will come out. Fusion? I don't know. But classes are coming. It is in our queue as we really start to dig into more content stuff this year and look at making content a profitable business venture for the company rather than a massive sink of money for me. But hey, I love what we do here. Did I remind people to like, subscribe, and support if they want? Because this would be a great time to do that. I believe that there are great tools out there to help make it better. But I also know that a lot of our staff don't like the space mice. They don't like them at all. They don't like that 6 degrees of freedom. And if you are a maker and you don't want to spend all the BS in buying something brand new, there are like open source designs that are the 6 degree of freedom joysticks. I like them. I think it makes moving models a lot easier. And this is really dumb, but it makes it look a lot smoother when I have clients on, like when we're doing like a live design or a client has a question and I can share my screen in Zoom and show them some things. I think it looks nicer, looks more professional. And as dumb as that is, I paid $35 for my Space Pilot Pro. It's perfect for what I need. It's perfect for what I need. But I've also statistically bought them broken, because often when you buy them broken, someone has just cut the cord. I have a soldering iron. I know how to solder or solder. I know how to do that so I can fix them myself. And that's what I've historically done. I have four now. My brother has one. I have one. I have one at my second office. And as a good business owner, I always have a spare. Because in the event that mine breaks, I need to quickly get another one and not get hurt in the process. And as Aaron says, I have one at work and I'm lost at home without it. Yeah, exactly. You can get them for cheap, dude. You can get them for real cheap. So, yeah. I believe that if we can start solving those problems, we can really, really get it sorted. My goal is to kind of do what Joel wants to do too. We have a whole class thing that we're working on called the Making Awesome Academy. It is three pillars: educate, empower, create, in that order. That order is important because if you are empowered without being knowledgeable, you're going to make mistakes and hurt yourself. If you are creating without being empowered, you're never going to complete anything. And if you're doing all of that without education, you're going to hurt yourself. And we don't want to see that happen. We want to be careful with that stuff. Duff with the 1399 Canadian pesos saying, that's about 10 bucks US. Remember what you said last night? What'd you do for 10 bucks? LOL. Also, nice. I don't remember. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know. Steve Builds is here. Hey, don't forget, after we're done streaming, you should go check out Steve Builds. His latest stream is linked in that description down below. Steve is an awesome guy, and you should go watch him. He's going to be doing some stuff on, it's a stealth. I'm going to my DMs right now so I can see what it was that he's doing, so I can tell you appropriately. What is he doing? An LDO Voron Switchwire Rev C Part 3. Ha! There. That's what he's doing. Steve is awesome. We like Steve. Steve's a good guy. I mean, literally, great example. I was doing my color scheme for my Voron, and... Oh, part four. Part four! Sorry, there's typo. It's fixed. I pulled up the F3D file, right? Because it's fully open source, so it has Fusion files. And I just wanted to color the parts so I could see what my color scheme would look like. Now, don't do what I did. Don't pick your color scheme without understanding how you're supposed to do your build plates, because then you're going to spend about an hour and a half of your time going through and putting your parts in the right bins. Ask me how I know. Or go watch the stream for how I know. That took so long for me to learn how to use the appearance tab in Fusion, because I've never used it. I just use the default material. I'm like, I just want to change the damn color. I just want to change the damn color. That's all that I want to do. Now I can. I know how to do it now. It's the A, hit A, and the appearance comes out. And then you take the thing that you want and you drag it onto the part that you want it for, and boom. But you have to be careful that you're not also changing the material type, because when you change the material type, the parts might have different reflectivity, and that just sets me off. Blah. My goal is to help people get from where they are to where they want to be. But I can't do that if I myself am not properly educated. And it certainly can become a problem. Like, easily. Geek Toy Box says he's going to CES, and is there anything that he should look for? Oh man, there are so many things. Like, I want to see what companies are dropping new printers. But like, me personally, I want to go see the high-end 3D scanners, because I have a problem. But honestly, I don't know. I haven't heard any grumblings of companies releasing like big products for CES. So honestly, I don't know. I don't have that answer for you. So, sorry. Bit on Sense says he recently got a Cobra 2 Neo. He thought it would be just copy over G-code from his Cobra Go, and it would work. Nope. Spent last night 8 hours figuring out how my new printer works with G-code. Even that is complicated enough, and it's why we've talked about to never trust G-code from some other printer. You would think that a Cobra 2 Neo and a Cobra Go, since they're both Cobra, might be able to use the same G-code. Apparently not. It's a very honest thing to think. This works the same way we look at designing. We want to stop that pain. I believe that... I believe that there's an answer. And maybe I haven't found it. I want to try Plasticity and a few others. I just don't own an iPad that can use an Apple Pencil. And as dumb as that sounds, I have to make the decision of, do I want to buy like a Wacom Cintiq or something close to the Wacom Cintiq, like from a competitor, or do I want to go the iPad route? For me, I think I might choose the iPad route. As a diehard Android fanboy, I'm sorry, Android. All of your tablets are terrible. The iPad is just better. But I think that the ability for me to take it on the go and still do work is actually kind of nice. But the problem then becomes everybody needs that program if they need to work on it. And we run into a single source failure. It's why we chose Fusion, is that its cloud option is useful to us. But maybe the apps are more intuitive, because we're used to using touch screens. We're used to using styli, if you will, on the screen of something. Whether it's Apple, Android, whatever, you're used to that to some extent. And that value extends well beyond what you might think. That's something I really got to take a look into. If you guys would like to see that kind of stuff, let me know. I can look to get like an older iPad. No, maybe that takes like a Gen, because I have a Gen 1 Apple Pencil. Because Amber has an iPad that uses an Apple Pencil, and I found one for a good deal, so I bought it, so we have a spare. Or I just steal Amber's iPad. No, I'll buy my own. They're not that bad. But then the other one's like, well, I could get one of those fancy folding phones, right? That's got enough real estate for the most part. But no, no, I think a dedicated tablet might be a better move. And Mike from Never Let the Machines Win, NLTMW, says, as a frequent traveler, I would think the iPad would be good for you. Dueling in Nomad is relaxing. Yeah, Nomad. And Nomad Sculpt was the one I was thinking of. Let's see what Nomad Sculpt goes for. What's your pricing? I think Nomad's the one that's just like $30 one time, right? I feel like it is. I could be wrong, but I feel like it is. I don't travel a lot. I actually don't really leave my house very often. But, yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. I would like to see more things that are user-friendly. Shaper, Nomad. Okay, yeah, Nomad is the one time. There's plasticity. What does plasticity cost? Huh. It's just a one time? Ah. All updates included for 12 months, including major releases. Okay. That's fine. That's how I like my software. Plasticity is how I like my software. Plasticity does, it's a one time charge. You get updates for a year, and then you no longer get updates unless you want to pay again. But your software doesn't stop working. It's the same system that Lightburn has. And it's why I love Lightburn. I'm still on an old version of Lightburn, like 1.1, maybe. Because it does everything that works for me. It does everything that I need. With my crappy Ruida laser. And if we can get a Galvo on the channel, I will have to buy the newest Lightburn, and I will have no problem doing it. But it has to be easy for me to do. And I know that I'm not the only one that suffers from this problem. Because I'm the old school style maker that just wants it free. That just wants it free. Geek Toy Box says, can you drop the Fusion 360 for CAD class? Yes, of course you can. We talked about it earlier. You just weren't here. Love you, Dom. Shaper is not more expensive than Fusion. I have it pulled up here. It's $25 a month, $300 billed annually. So even then, it's still half the price of Fusion. Or it's $38 a month. That is still a decent deal if it is something that you want to do. It's a better deal than Fusion. But if you're looking to build a team, we specifically chose Fusion for its cloud at no extra cost. You might say, well, Grant, you hate the cloud. I do. But what I hate more is dealing with emails and losing my, what's the term I'm trying to think of? Losing my head, losing my mind. Like version control. Version control. There it is. Version control. Version control is the big thing when you're working in business. You need that version control. And it's why people will pay the money for SolidWorks and for the cloud for SolidWorks. If you don't have version control and there are problems, you might be working on a version that is three versions behind than what your staff are working on because maybe there's a block in communication. When you use a cloud, it auto updates. It would be cool if we could both work in the same CAD like program together like you can with like Google Docs, but I have a feeling that's really, really complicated. These programs like Nomad and Shaper and Plasticity do not have that functionality. So that is something to be conscious of. You got to be careful there, because if you do build out a team, you're going to have to get really, really good at making sure that your files are always kept active. And I'm sure there's a way to do like a, you know, a constant upload to a Google Drive server or a, you know, some sort of server that you set up in your house. That's all possible. We're going to check out Onshape's pricing. Holy shnikes. Wow, I didn't realize the pricing of Onshape. I don't know. Why would someone choose? Okay. Let's talk about Onshape's pricing. Hold on. Onshape has a free plan. Okay. It's got CAD tools, real-time collaboration, version control, mobile apps, online training, but it does not have private storage. Now, I've seen a lot of people just kind of get around this by giving their projects really crazy names that are difficult to search for. So unless we get good at searching for things based on the design, it will never be found. It is effectively private without being private. That's not legal advice. If you design something in Onshape and you don't pay for it, you are technically making a public disclosure, which, assuming the USPTO does do their job, if they found it, would invalidate your own patent. So be careful. But their standard plan, which is all the features are free with private storage and support, is $1,500 per user per year. And the professional plan, which is $2,500, comes with company-managed data, release management, advanced PDM, which I don't even know what the hell that means. Simulation, rendering, ECAD, and MCAD exchange. Yeah. No. And qualified pros can try Onshape Professional free for up to 6 months with the Discovery program. So that's their way of getting you hooked on their system. That is so expensive. That is so expensive. Now, I used to love Onshape. Onshape is what I learned in. Onshape is what I learned CAD in first because it was browser-based. It was easy for us to use. It wasn't complicated. It was simple, and the classes were okay. When we look at other options at the time, this was 2017 probably, I think, is when Onshape did what they did. That pricing is unreasonable. Why would I use Onshape? I don't know. I guess that makes sense why they're sponsoring so many creators. I didn't realize they were sponsoring that many creators. And I didn't realize that they were that expensive. I mean, hey, if they want to sponsor us, I will take a bunch of keys. And like my brother said, we should get like 100 keys. Use like 15 for the shop and then do big giveaways and give keys away. That would be cool. But yeah, from a business perspective, Onshape is a tough one. Now, the reason you might choose Onshape is because it's made by the same people that made SolidWorks. They left Dassault Systems and they built Onshape. I am fairly certain that's what happened. Don't quote me on that, but I'm fairly certain that's what happened. So if you're used to SolidWorks, Onshape might be a great thing for you to use at home. being browser-based, we do often recommend it, but only for free. Because browser-based is nice. You can use it on your phone, your laptop, your desktop, iPad, whatever, and it's all just you're logging in. Fusion has a mobile app. It's terrible. Fusion, because it's cloud connected, as long as you have an internet connection, it will sync, which is nice. But again, the cost gets to a point where I don't like it. And at $2,500 a year for professional, honestly, I think you could get away with the $1,500 a year tier. But that's like more than double the price of Fusion. Unless an online editor is important to you. And it might be. If you're doing projects that need a lot of horsepower for a CPU, doing it in a browser means that it's not your horsepower that's rendering it. Not that I'm aware of, at least. And that might be useful to you. To me, computers are cheap enough that it's not that big of a deal. Dumb Dev says all the add-ons are crazy expensive in 360. It's true. It's very much a you have to add all these other things, or you have to buy cloud credits. Oh, I was waiting for someone to say it. Marcus Hempel, you win. You don't win anything, but you win for the first person to mention Katia. Oh, Katia. Which is SolidWorks for aerospace. And it's an extra zero. It's like 20 grand a year for Katia. And it is objectively worse than SolidWorks. Why? Because F you, that's why. That is my take on Katia. What's the other one? Creo? Katia and Creo are just for people that don't like themselves. I'm sorry if you have to use it as a day job. There are so many better options. But because Katia and Creo have been the industry standard for aerospace, it's what most companies use. I'm so sorry if you have to use them. Because they are, if you think Fusion's UI is bad, look at Katia. Remember, when the software says pricing, get a quote, it's the Fast and Furious reference. If you have to ask, you can't afford it. So just bleh. I don't like Katia. I have a buddy that has to use Katia for his day job, and it is atrocious. I have watched him designing Katia, and I'm like, this is terrible. Why don't you use SolidWorks? Oh, because they need the Katia files. But that is stupid. Anyways, moving on from Katia. Nathan Chu says, Onshape has a mobile app too, and it's not bad. Not good enough to keep working on, but it's good enough for checking the model and doing some small changes. And that's fair. But again, if you're doing stuff that involves any amount of non-disclosure, you have to pay for Onshape. And at $1,500 a year, you can get, what, two Bamboo P1Ss, a Bamboo X1 Carbon, a Prusa Mark IV. Is the entry-level XL 1500? No, I think it's 2500. You can get pretty much any good prosumer 3D printer for the same price or less than 1 year of paid Onshape. Huh. Madcat says, try a Libre 3D. It's CAD and CAM. I'm assuming it's a Libre, so it's fully open source. It looks cool. All right. You can export a ZPR. Interesting. It can import Katia. Yeah, so it is. What does it cost? Ah, shit. It's not free. A Libre is normally associated with open source, I thought. It's not free. Lifetime subscriptions. So, okay, that's cool. $150. Optional updates and support plan are separate. So, it's that license. That's what you get. $150. Yeah. 3D printing and CNC, easy to learn interface, export step set, STL, OBJ, DWG, DXF, SVG. Models move realistically, easily move to different computers. Yeah, that's nice. I can get down with that. And it's $10 a month. If you want to just pay monthly, it's $10 a month or $100 a year. All right. It's not bad. I thought it was going to be open source because of Libre, I thought is normally I thought a Libre was normally open source. Mind C Texas, what do you think of plasticity in 3D code? I think plasticity has some potential. It's $150, which gives you a year of updates. That's not a bad deal. I didn't realize that 3D coat was still around. 3D coat, we used to use it for a ZBrush competitor. How much is it? I don't. Oh, buy. There's buy. Okay. 3D coat. It's currently on sale as a personal license, which means, oh, commercial use is allowed. 279 euros, and it's got about a day and a half left at that. Normally, it's 380. It is node locked, and that is something for those of you that like to upgrade your computers to be aware of. If you change your PC, your node lock will fail. So that's something to be concerned about. So, yeah. Tarzman says Libre on its own is normally an open source thing. LibreOffice. I wonder if that's deliberately misleading to get people to use their software. Or maybe I'm just stupid. I don't know. The comment section suggests it's more of the latter than the former, but that's only on certain videos, though. There are options. And I think as we see the apps get better, that is absolutely where I think the industry will move for small people. Like it, I say small people, for like new users, right? It is easy for you to get a, what is it, one-time fee of Nomad for $30 and learn to do sculpting. Rather than paying, how much is ZBrush these days? Let's see how much ZBrush is these days. For those that don't know, ZBrush used to be a you paid and you got updates forever, right? It was a one-time thing. You pay and you got updates forever. Not anymore. They were Pixelogic was bought by Maxon, and it is so expensive. Holy crap. So they have this Forger, which is $15 annually. It's in the App Store, so let me see what that looks like. Yeah, and it doesn't even tell you what you're missing. ZBrush alone is $359. A lot of people will want to add Redshift, which is for rendering. That's $264 a month. And then if you wanted to add like, oh, Cinema 4D, I guess, is on there too. That's $983 additional. TLDR, I don't like you, Maxon, and I don't have to like you. I do not agree with what Maxon did. I know a lot of people that refuse to update their ZBrush licenses because they don't want to move over to the monthly plan. And I, under no circumstances, blame them. I do not blame them whatsoever. I wholeheartedly support them in doing what they do. I want to see more apps. I want to see more apps. I want to see more apps. But I don't want the monthly thing. Nomads, I really want to get. I really want to get Nomad Sculpt. Because I've always wanted to do sculpting. That's funny because like my dad works at Ringling, not the circus, the art school in Sarasota. We will be interviewing him again for Father's Day. Don't worry, that's happening. But like, I see what the students from Ringling do. Do I have a Victoria model handy? My desk is a disaster right now. I don't think I do. But Margaret, who's been on our team for a little bit, she's responsible for a lot of the more funny cat stickers that we have. These will be available at some point in a shop. But Margaret did all of these. She's also responsible for all the t-shirt designs that we've done. Margaret, in her final year at Ringling, took up learning ZBrush, and she does amazing work. But I can just see that having the skills and having the technology makes it easier to learn. If you are going to be using a graphing tablet, like a Wacom Cintiq, you will have a better time doing it than someone who is using one without a screen. Right? Because it is easier for you to look at and draw on something than it is for you to be looking at a computer screen while there's a pen working below you. It is naturally easier for us to color with what feels to be a crayon versus coloring but not looking at the paper. And I'm sure eventually you get used to it. But when you look at the cost of a used iPad, iPad 7, iPad 8, iPad 9, if you want to spend a little bit of extra money and get the latest iPad, like the first iPad with the M1 chip, which is fine. Those are good iPads. You can get them for pennies on the dollar. Let's see. Because now I'm curious. $350. $350. You can get one from Best Buy for $350. 10th gen with Wi-Fi, 64 gig, $350. You can't get a Wacom Cintiq for that price. I don't think you can, at least. And that is where we start to have problems. Because when it becomes cheaper to get an iPad plus a pencil, why would people spend the money on Wacom? Now, it's because Wacom is specifically designed for, you know, people that want to do it professionally. But we've talked about this, where if you're stuck learning it one way, right? If you're stuck learning it one way, you need to kind of keep that way, or your learning curve starts all over again. It's kind of ridiculous. I don't know if the iPad 10th gen is M1. It is. Yeah, it is. It is $350 from Best Buy, which means what's going on over there? Okay, well, the bamboo's going to be mad at me. We're playing around with the community firmware. It's pretty awesome. But the screen size on the Cintiq is a huge factor. I have a Cintiq 24 HD. It is broken, unfortunately, which proper sucks. But like, the Wacom Mobile Studio Pro 16 is $2,500. The Wacom Cintiq Pro 22 is $3,000. The Pro 24 is, you know, $2,200. The regular Cintiq's $1,300. And the Wacom One is like $310. Why would you do that when an iPad is so much cheaper? Why would you do that when an iPad is so much cheaper? Why? I get the value of having a Wacom touch surface, 100%. But like, An iPad with a pencil is pretty damn good. And as Maker Viking points out, the Huion, they make a direct competitor to the Wacom Cintiq, and I think they do a pretty good job at it. But it's not... Wacom is all about that touch surface. But again, like, you need a monster computer to run it, which is a couple grand in its own. You're at $5,000 in just hardware by the time you're done, if you want, you know, newer hardware. Call it $4,000for the better or worse. And, like, dude... It makes it so prohibitive to getting involved in these industries that we need a better way. And I think the iPad apps are the one that makes it better. Specifically, if you're getting into sculpting, Nomad Sculpt. You have Blender, which is totally free. But for $30, I might try Nomad myself. I think it'd be more fun. And as Mike from Never Let the Machines Win says, until Nomad shook up the market, there was no software for the iPad to compete. That's right. Nomad was one of the first ones to come out, and they woke people up to that this is a possibility. And that's pretty good. I'm here for it. Also, I guess Mad Cat is going to be public about it. Mad Cat, I do hope you get better. Everyone, wish Mad Cat USA a speedy recovery in the chat. He is going to be going through some back surgery. As an individual that also has back problems, I unfortunately have felt your pain before. Good luck and Godspeed, sir. But yeah, everybody give Mad Cat a bunch of tags in the comments and tell him good luck. He is actually in a hospital bed right now. The dude hung out with us for like 30 minutes in the Discord in his hospital bed. It's like, That's a commitment to being a part of a community when you're in a hospital and you're hanging out with a bunch of people. But I get it, right? No one really wants to spend time in a hospital unless you're working there, right? Because, boy, that gets expensive, but insurance is good. So good luck, buddy. If they are going to do the spinal fusion, see if it's going to be 3D printed metal going in your back. You know, hey. You might as well see if there's any cool 3D printed stuff. And if you could get like a selfie with it, that'd be cool. There's a local company that makes the drilling jigs for that kind of stuff out of printed titanium, because they're made custom for each person, which is super cool, in my opinion. I love that kind of stuff. That's such a great use for 3D printing. But yeah, like, the apps have made this better. The apps have really made this better. And I don't really know if that means it's the death of regular CAD, right? I don't think that it is. But I certainly think that if I was Autodesk, I would not be... I would not be raising my price. They are, like, they're raising their price. But if I was Autodesk, I would not be raising my price, because the more you raise your price, the more likely someone is going to say, this sucks, I'm done paying for this, and build their own app. And that's the kind of stuff that I look out for. I think I'm going to buy Nomad for Amber, and then I'm going to use Amber's iPad when she's not using it. That's what I'm going to do. Amber's birthday's coming up. That's thinking with your noggin. Apparently, Easy Canvas and Nomad Sculpt work well together, too. Hey, gotta love it. I don't know, guys. I think it's the hardest thing that we have in this industry right now. The hardest thing that we have is this challenge of 3D modeling. I believe if you are dedicated, you can get through it. You can figure it out. You can do it. But you better be really motivated to get it done, because it is a tough, tough climb to make. It is a tough climb to make. And if you don't have to, I don't recommend you do it alone. My thought is, if you have a friend that can help you, get the help. Get the help. If you can't, I don't know. Because, like, I feel like if you've got a friend that would learn CAD with you, that would be pretty cool. It'd be helpful. Certainly, I know that when I was learning Onshape and I was learning it alongside of some of our staff, it made life a lot easier. Certainly when Ben or someone is sharing their screen and they're doing Fusion work in our Discord, that I can watch it, I can kind of mimic and mirror what they're doing so I can learn. I learn so much better that way. It'd be cool. If you have a friend, learn with them. And if you don't have friends, go join our Discord. You'll find a lot of awesome people there. Who you might not ever be able to meet in real life, but we will ride the struggle bus together. It's what we do. Thomas says, that's different with how you learn, as Joel said. I learn better on my own than in a group, as Thomas says. And some people do, 100%. The only reason that I learn better in a group is, again, an education gap. Sorry, my back is hurting a little bit. It's like I have back pain because of Mad Cat. By blame Mad Cat. Hashtag blame Mad Cat. My issue is often a lack of knowledge on how to ask what I need. With what we do, I often like, I need to do this, but I don't understand what it's called. So I don't know what to search for. I think that's the struggle that we have, is if we have a lack of knowledge on the vocabulary, we can't search for the right thing. Clearly. So if we can solve a vocabulary problem, maybe that's the issue that we need to solve. I don't know. As Nathan says, Onshape has some decent tutorials, but their pricing is just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I believe that we will see gains this year. Big gains. We're going to get swole. No. I believe we're going to see big gains in the 3D design space. We are talking CAD, John. I want to see more companies go after the maker market. Because the trick with the maker market that I don't think they really pay enough attention to is that the maker market often uses the stuff in a job, or they want to start their own business. And if you can get them under your umbrella early, you keep them stuck and they don't go anywhere. Fusion, I think, kind of gets that, but with them deleting and removing their, what the hell? With them removing their, what the hell is the thing I'm thinking of? Oh, their small business tier. With them removing their small business tier, dude, you're not making it affordable for small business. John says he uses Shaper 3D and he's trying to learn Nomad Sculpt. Yeah. Shaper is better priced, but I think I like the cloud of Fusion better. I think that there's the reason for me for the cloud, so I think I'm going to stick with that, at least for right now. It's I worry that we as makers are going to get left behind when it comes to design. And that design is what most makers need to go from hobby to jobby, right? To go from doing it for fun to doing it for a living. And when you're just starting out, it doesn't work. Geek Toy Box says Fusion has a startup license. They do, for now. They're nuking it. They're getting rid of it. At least last I heard that it was going away. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. The problem is most of us makers don't have the skill that we need to do the things that we want. And because we don't know what we don't know, we can't learn what we don't know because we don't know what to search for. And it's why we do Print Fix Friday. Because I recognize that so many people say, "What is wrong with my printer? I don't understand why it's not working." And if there is someone that can sit there and explain it to you and work you through it, maybe that helps. But if you don't know what to Google, 3D printer stuff not sticking to bed, you'll get 19 people saying it's wet filament and it's not wet filament. But you'll get a lot more people that might give you the right answer. And how do you disseminate right from wrong? I don't know, man. It's a very, very tough scenario for me as someone that works in this industry. Not just in 3D design, but in content creation, because I want to be the guiding light that says, I can help you. But I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. We've been wanting to do a we've been wanting to do like a video on the Lingo. We did a vi Lingo video over 2 years ago. I think it's good that we revisit the Lingo video because no one's gonna watch a 2-year-old video. They're gonna watch a new video that we put out. So I think it's good for us to go through and do another Lingo video. M maybe we'll just turn a Print Fix Friday into a Lingo video. Because yeah, that lingo is important. If you don't know what the anatomy of a hot end looks like, so when I say, "Hey, make sure that your heat break is touching your nozzle," you won't know what the heat break is and potentially screw your nozzle into your heat sink. John Stern, I am disappointed in you. John Stern says, "At Grant, I've been having a problem with my printer. I've been trying to print Dutch shoes, but I keep getting clogs." I wish that. Oh, I can I time? I want to just time him out for 60 seconds just to be a pain in the butt, but that will also delete his comment, and I don't want to do that because it's funny, but it deserves a timeout. Mike from Netlit Machines Win said that Fusion's startup license required a newly registered company that has funding. Bootstrap companies trying to expand were not eligible. Cool. Cool. There's a solution somewhere. I don't know what it is, but there's a solution somewhere. I don't know what it looks like. I just know that I'm frustrated, and I'm frustrated for all the newbies that are trying to get to this point that won't. That won't. Mad Cat, did you just hide him from the channel? Or, yeah, so when you put him in timeout, it deleted all of his messages. All of his messages are gone. Don't do that. Now I gotta see, now I gotta make sure you didn't just hide him from the channel. Be nice, mods. We like John Stern. He's a good guy. Yeah, it just they're all gone. So now even the joke is gone. Wait a minute. I know what I can do. I know what I can do. I can pin it. And it stays there. I think I can pin it. and it stays there. There is Rhino as well, as 3DZ Ram Devor says. I'm not a huge fan of Rhino personally. I find that it's a little limited. And its learning curve is tough. The other thing that I find with Rhino, and this is just like a personal thing that we find out when we work with architects, it doesn't always make watertight models. So check in on that. You have to make sure that it is making watertight models. Now I have to make sure that you guys didn't actually just ban him from the channel. Gosh. It was a joke. You guys didn't need to do that. It was a joke. Now I gotta see, like, users that have been blocked. Silver says, sorry I'm late to the conversation, but has anyone brought up FreeCAD? Oh, he's not banned. He's back. All right. he isn't fancy. Yeah, so Silver Bear, we have brought up FreeCAD. We have. We don't like FreeCAD because FreeCAD has such a bad UI, in my opinion. It is so tough to use. FreeCAD is so tough to use. Its UI is, and it might get better. FreeCAD has had a lot of updates recently. And I think FreeCAD poses the best non-app related risk to Fusion 360. But that is literally David and Goliath. And yes, Prusa Slicer is basically Tinkercad, like Geek Toy Box says. I agree, it is. But I don't know if Prusa's going to be coming out with a CAD package. And if they do, I'm going to bet that it's not free and it's not open source. Which is fine. They have to make money too. They can't just give away everything that they do for free. And I might pay for it. I don't know. It is not easy to build a developer team like they've done. If you've done it once, doing it again is a lot. Doing it the second time is a lot easier. So, I don't know. Personal thoughts. Silver Bear says, oh, just curious. I've actually had really good luck with and results with it. But then again, I'm also coming off of a SketchUp program before they went like cloud-based, I think. Yeah, if you went from like SketchUp over to FreeCAD, you'll have a better chance of getting FreeCAD than you will if you went from Fusion to FreeCAD. So, yeah. Andreas Grundler says there are rumors that Bamboo Lab comes out with a CAD package. I think we all know my stance on that. I don't even have to say anything. I do worry that at some point Fusion will change their personal license and make all personal models public, just like it was done with Onshape. Plasticity might be a good option. Nomad might be a good option. Shaper might be a good option. Apps are where it's at. We got to do like an app showcase. That'd be kind of cool to do it. But yeah, I don't know. There's a solution. I just don't know if I know exactly what it is. But there is a solution. If you know, let me know in those comments, because I do believe having a talk about this is important. If any of you are the programming type and want to go down this path of building a CAD package, let's talk. It might be something that I'm willing to put some money into and kind of invest in making this happen. Because I believe that there is a lot of potential out there for a good CAD package that is affordable, reliable, UI is good, While it's not going to be perfect from day one, it's going to have a lot of opportunity that other packages and systems don't. That's how I look at it. Darren Shady said, I get it. It's tough. Anyone who wants to hobby woodworking would have to take the time to learn even more than I feel we need to learn with 3D printing. Hobby woodworking is just more dangerous. Lathes? Oh my God. Dude, I really want to get a lathe, but when I had my longer hair, I'm like, nope. I have seen enough lathe-related injuries due to long hair than anything else in terms of like shop injuries. But quite frankly, and it's the same with 3D printing, the biggest risk to you in 3D printing, woodworking, mechanic, anything, you are the biggest risk to yourself. The 200-pound gorilla that's running the machine is the thing that is the most likely to cause injury to the 200-pound gorilla, right? A chop saw is not going to probably jump off and cut your arm off. But if your finger is in the way when you bring the chop saw down, you're going to cut your finger off. Is a 3D printer going to burn you? Not unless you touch it when it's hot. So, yeah. Mad Cat, I am not reading out that joke. That is hilarious, but that is just not appropriate for live streaming. And I guess Gina, aka Fusel from Octoprint, uses FreeCAD, has posted some base tutorials from live modeling sessions, he thinks. Silver Bear was using the tutorials from Mango Jelly and really helped make sense of it. I think that's pretty much the big thing, right? We want to kind of interface directly with everything, but to do that, we have to understand how it's done. And if you don't understand how it's done, you'll never succeed at it. And so I think if we focus on the basics, right? What does each function do? Why does it matter? Why would you use it, especially if you're a newbie? Because if you're not a newbie, why are you watching a newbie video? I look at it and I see lots of business ideas, propositions, potentials, and the like. Because, yeah, I'm not blind. I can see these things. But at the same time, I worry that the upfront expenditure for someone to try to fix all the problems is so high that it doesn't make sense for anybody to do it. And that's where I land in this. We're good? Okay. Lost power there for a second. I look at it and say, we have a duty to help new people in this industry be successful, enjoy it, and feel welcomed and not in pain for whatever reason. And unfortunately, the CAD package is where you kind of have to feel a little bit of pain, no matter which one you choose. Even Tinkercad, you're gonna feel a little bit of pain. Now, pain is part of growth, as long as it doesn't get to being destructive. So how do we stop the destructive pain? Well, get out of the echo chambers. So just delete Facebook at this point. Don't check the Reddits for the most part. Or find the smaller subreddits that have the subsector that you're looking for. And don't use Twitter. Just don't use Twitter. And if you do use Twitter, don't tweet. And don't follow people that are just spiteful and hateful. I want to see more aspiring minds joining this industry. We'll see if we can make that happen. That is one of my goals this year, is to help those that are getting started in this industry get that push that they need to keep going. Because as you're moving up this pipe, if you will, or this hill, it's a hill, there's a void. And if you don't have somebody to help guide you through, for lack of a better term, the valley of shadow and death that is the chasm, you will never find yourself getting out on the other side. You'll get lost in the chaff and you won't work. Aspire to be the person that inspires. Aspire to be the person that people look up to. Aspire to be the person that fosters community rather than hate. And aspire to be the person that welcomes newbies and not only helps them, but listens to them. Because you never know what you might learn from somebody else, especially somebody with a completely different perspective. New Model Workshop says it right. Aspire to be the person your dog thinks you are. I don't have a dog, but I do not aspire to be the person my cat thinks I am, because sometimes my cat thinks I'm a real rightful piece of crap. But I'm not. You get all the love and attention that you could ever need. Cat. Aspire to be the person that dogs think that you are. Good dogs, at least. That's all I got for you guys. Go hang out over at Steve Builds. Links are in that description down below so that when we're done, you have another stream to enjoy. I think this kind of thing for me and Steve works out. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Anyways, I got to go deal with an angry bamboo. It's fine. I knew it was going to get angry. I'm using spools that don't fit in the AMS. It's fine. The machine is actually running pretty well on the community firmware. Video coming soon. New Model Workshop says YouTube raid. I don't know how to do a YouTube raid. We've been through this. I have no idea how to do it. Does anybody know how to do a YouTube raid? Like, how do I do it? I know it's possible, but I don't know how. Yeah, let me see. YouTube raid. Let me see if we can do it. A live redirect. Can I do a live redirect after the fact? I don't think I can. Dag. Oh, well, I don't see that it is possible for me, unfortunately. So that's all I got, guys. Enjoy the rest of your afternoons, evenings, whatever it might be. Go check out Steve Builds. Links is in the description down below. Subscribe, like, join, support if you do think that we've deserved it. Otherwise, stay safe out there. Don't forget to call your loved ones. And as always, keep making awesome. Episode 169. Nice.